Welcome to Student Success Stories,
hosted by Lansing Community College's Academic Success Coaching Team.
We believe in working with students to help them identify
and utilize their strengths.
We empower them to succeed at LCC
and accomplish their academic goals.
On Success Stories, we dive deeper
into the backgrounds and the stories of LCC students
and learn how they turn challenges to triumphs.
All right. Welcome to another episode of the Student Success Stories podcast. I'm one of your co-hosts, Brendan Finnerty, and in the studio with me today is
Laz Lane.
Today's episode is brought to you by allergy season. Nothing unites people quite like allergy season and being congested. Today's guest is Kyle Thalen. He just finished up his last semester at LCC this spring and is moving on to some next steps that we'll dive into a bit more as we talk. One thing we want to highlight first off is he's worked at Horrocks during his time as a student. So a lot of people in Lansing know Horrocks. It's a very unique Lansing spot. So Kyle, tell us a little bit about Horrocks from an insider perspective. What's something people ought to know about it? And we just talked about a really cool story before the episode started that you can definitely tell if you are willing.
Yeah. So, I mean, Horrocks is a great place. I'm sure a lot of people have been out there, but it's, you know, family owned and things like that. So coming out of it, like, they're great people to work for, honestly. And like, they genuinely care about what they do, and they try and take care of people and take care of the people that work for them. So it's been a great place to work and a lot of fun too. Like the story we're talking about, if you've ever been back there, there's that pond and the beer garden and the nursery area. So I was actually out on a canoe today putting out little plants. So if you're around there and you hear this and you see those plants out there, that was me.
Yes. Yeah. You can think of him. Awesome. I don't think I've ever seen any kind of flotation device or anything really on that pond except for maybe birds.
Is definitely an experience. A little tippy, and that water's not the cleanest.
Is the plan for the canoe to stay there, or what's the long term plan?
It just came from my boss's house, so he's taking it back there.
This was just a day of fun for the employees.
Just a day of fun of riding around, and $5 if you ever want to ride on it.
Sweet,
really? Is it?
No,
I'm no. I'm like, that's not a bad promotion.
I was gonna say,
there.
I got some pool floaties. We could probably get in there.
Man, gotta sign a waiver form and everything.
Yeah, right.
Yep.
So, is there like a secret day that people? There's a lot of people who everyone knows about Horrocks, I'm assuming, but not everyone shops there. Are there like certain days with certain sales? Ooh. It's pretty expensive, but it's a lot of value with it too.
Yeah.
But there certain days, or what's the best day to shop on? Weekends are crazy. I know.
Yeah, don't go on the weekend.
I've drove by it plenty of times. I'm like, yeah, there's more people there than at LCC's ramp right now. Like, this is crazy.
Special days, not really necessarily, if I'm being honest. But if you want to go, like, go in the morning, it's so chill in the morning. Like, there's nobody there. You can do whatever you want. You can actually move, which is nice.
Yeah.
I'll be working sometimes, and I'm like, okay, I get so overwhelmed just because there's so many people. But, yeah, go in the morning. It's actually pretty nice in the morning.
Go in the morning. Yeah. In and out.
Yep. Cool. Well, let's take it back a little bit before Horrocks. Just tell us a bit about where you're from and kind of how your upbringing shaped you.
Yeah. So I'm from Langsburg, small town just outside of Lansing. I'm sure a lot of people have heard of it.
Mm-hmm.
But growing up there was nice because it was quiet. But at the same time, we were close enough to things where people got to go out and experience a lot of different things and whatnot. So I really enjoyed growing up in the country for the most part, not being in the city. It was good for me. I learned a lot and things like that. Had a lot of different people playing into me. So it was cool.
So with that type of living, is that what you plan to do in the future? Because I know a lot of people live in a city and sometimes they get that peace and quiet and then they're like, man, I want this. And then there's people who the opposite. They're like, man, this is too quiet. I want to have more fun.
Yeah,
I guess. Yeah. Air quotes in the city and things like that. So do you see yourself living in like a country type of area, city, or?
In all honesty, I go back and forth on it. Like, I think about it, I'm like, dude, I would really like to be out in the country and do my own thing.
Yeah,
but then I'm like, subdivision wouldn't be bad. Like, there's so many different things and so much that, you know, I haven't had the opportunity to experience yet to know if I know the answer to that. But I wouldn't mind it. But I also know that there's other things out there, you know.
Gotcha.
Good answer.
So you grew up in Langsburg. Now, was it location or what is the reason? What brought you to LCC? Besides it being like the best school ever. But go ahead.
It was definitely that I just literally had no clue what I was doing.
Okay.
Like, I was like, man, I there's a whole backstory to it that, I mean, I don't know if we have time to get into it, but I came out of high school and I had a lot of stuff go down at the end with some injuries and things like that. And I was like, man, I don't know if I want to go into the trades, which I had kind of originally thought I wanted to do. So I was like, I guess I got to go to college to figure out something. Like, I can't sit around and do nothing. But I didn't want to go to a 4-year because I was like, I don't know what I want to do. I can't spend that money. So I just came to LCC, started taking classes, and hoped that I would figure it out along the way.
Cool. Did you ever have any, I mean, looking back at everything, I know you've had like a great run here, but do you ever regret not going to possibly a 4-year, maybe MSU, Central, Western, any of those schools? Or
honestly, no, because especially where I was coming out of it, I don't think that I would have gotten into the right crowd that I should have been in going into it. It's been honestly a blessing to like not know it at the time, but look at it now and see like, yeah, this is like the right place that I should have been and that like I needed to be. Because I still have the opportunity to go to a 4-year university
now.
Yeah. So I still have that experience and get to get away from home and things like that. So it's been, it worked out right.
Nice.
Yeah. Well, and you know, you've mentioned that and like I'm your success coach, so I know this, but you've obviously spent time at LCC and have explored some potential pathways. Like you said, you started out not knowing what you wanted to do. What did that process look like in terms of clarifying and just what did you notice for how things changed as you got closer to, you know, what you're pursuing?
Yeah. Like I always knew like the general area that I wanted to be in. Like I mentioned being in the trades and stuff. I wanted to do that and I still enjoy doing that. Like I like working with my hands and things like that. So for me, figuring out what I wanted to do was a lot of trial and error. Like I thought I wanted to go into construction management, and then I thought I wanted to be a lineman, and then I thought I wanted to do this and that. So a lot of it honestly was, one, taking classes. People say prereqs aren't worth it, which debatable, but like some of them are actually like, you know, nice to explore stuff. Like the sociology class that I took was great, and it like gave me a lot of perspective on different things that people walk through and things that I haven't experienced, but like I can still understand looking from an outside perspective. So getting that stuff in my back pocket and then trying to figure out certain paths to walk down and then having doors closed and different ones open was just trial and error. Like I can't really explain that it was something that I like sat down and planned out and said, this is what I'm going to do. These are the steps I'm going to take. It was more just like, all right, let's try this. And if it works, if it worked, you know.
Yeah. Was there an emotional piece to that as like opportunities that you thought might be what was going to open up didn't? And then, you know, trying something new, like was that kind of baked into that?
Yeah, definitely. Emotionally, yeah, there was a big part of it. And I think that that's the reason why I like walked down different things and tried different things. It was like, oh, emotionally, I was like so invested in it. And then I got into it and I was like, yeah, you know, I don't know if that's exactly where I thought I wanted to be or what I wanted to do. So I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing to walk through those emotionally, but it definitely played out. And I've learned a lot about myself through that process too. So.
Well, that's a good testimony. I've had students in the past and even now where, you know, one, they're afraid to make mistakes or, you know, if they're undecided on which pathway to go through, they just sometimes just take classes just to do it. Some stop going, which is totally fine. I tell people as you grow in age, no matter what, you're going to change. So your interests may change as well. So sometimes having one door close or having something not happen or go your way, sometimes that's always for a reason. So,
yeah. And I think, I mean, just knowing a little bit about your story, like it's a testament to overcoming a fear of failure or disappointment.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. So there's still a lot of that too. But I mean, that's kind of the whole point of walking through stuff, you know, is to try and step out and in faith and take a leap, you know?
Yep.
Yeah, definitely. So kind of along the lines of that, you know, what in your life has been one of your biggest challenges? And what type of role did that play into, like, what you plan to pursue now, whether it's, like, a past or, you know, current challenge? What kind of challenges did you face that helped you?
So I kind of mentioned before, like, coming out of high school, I had some injuries and stuff. So I, like, totally blew my knee out entirely senior year of high school.
Sorry, was it a sport
played? Yeah, I was doing it playing football.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
What position?
I played slot and like safety corner.
Okay. Yeah. Wes Welker slash whoever's a good corner right now.
Well, Edelman.
Okay.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I'm a small guy, so, you know.
But you're quick, though, I'm sure. See? Yeah. See?
Lions got a few corners nowadays.
Yeah, they do.
You know?
We'll see how it turns out. Sorry, go ahead.
No, you're good. Yeah. So that, for me, like, having that happen in the timing that it did, you know, my mm-hmm. senior year, it was, like, really knocked me down pretty mm-hmm. far. Like, I, like, had all my confidence, all my hope in these wrong things, you know, with people or relationships or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
So when that happened, I, like, totally lost all my confidence in myself and, like, got into some things that weren't exactly the right path and where I should have been doing and where I should have been spending my time and things like that. So that, overcoming that challenge and finding the right outlets and the right things to put my faith and my hope in, and, I mean, I'm not trying to make this a religious thing, but Jesus was, like, a big part of that, and it would be wrong for me to not say that mm-hmm. and give that glory to him, because, I mean, I would not be here today if it wasn't for the way that he came and totally changed my life, my perspective. So,
amen.
Yeah, amen, yeah. Overcoming that challenge and finding the right outlets, having that and feeling alone and having my confidence gone really has given me, like, this overcoming that has given me, shaped me into somebody who wants to help people. Like, I want to see people who, not see people struggle, but see people struggling and go and say, hey, man, like, let's change this.
Yeah.
Let's see you grow. Let's watch you grow. Like, you guys do it every day. So moving forward and going into new things, like, that's kind of the main goal, is, like, I can do whatever, but I just want to see people grow in it.
That's good. That's really good.
I think that's really well said. I mean, and I think a big thing that you have been hitting on, like, people take classes. That's something that you do throughout your time.
Yeah.
But you also become someone as you're going through that. And I've certainly seen that with you over your time. So I think that's an important thing that you have just described that is probably important to summarize, is, like, there's something that you're doing and there's a process that you're going through, but then there's maybe a little bit more subtly somebody that you're becoming as you step up to, you know, different things, embrace challenges, go through the highs and lows. And as you're thinking about people and how you want to help and serve, do you have any more reflections on, like, anything like that, or kind of a message that you want to, you know, make sure to share, and kind of on, like, the personal growth or development side? Or,
yeah, I mean, I would just say that, like, no matter where you are, there's always an opportunity to lift people up around you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it could be something as simple as taking the time to say hi to somebody every day. Like, literally, it can be a coworker you never talk to or, like, you don't work with, but walking in and say, hey, how you doing, you know? It can really, like, change people's, like, day. Like, having that solid thing that happens every day and, like, you know somebody's got your back on it, it's the best thing.
Yeah. Saying hi alone, like you said, that goes a long way, too.
And, yeah.
You know, everyone goes through something. But, you know, how bad is it in that moment or in that time or during that season? You know, and sometimes somebody, just a random stranger, whoever, whether you're in the McDonald's drive-thru and you pay for the car behind you or anything like that, like, those small things go a long way that people, some realize, some don't. But, man, that's good. That's a good testimony, too. But just kind of a question that may throw you off a little bit. If you had any chance, any opportunity, everything paid for, what's a vacation spot that you would go to?
Ooh, okay. I would go to, this is a basic answer, but I would go to Greece.
Greece? Okay.
Yeah.
That's like, not basic, though. I don't think that. But go ahead.
I respect it. Thank you. But I always, like, grew up liking all the Greek, like, mythology and stuff like that. So it'd be really cool to see all that stuff. And it's beautiful over there. So,
yeah.
So you've been there, or are you talking
I've seen
about
pictures.
Pictures. But, okay.
I mean, I haven't been there.
Gotcha.
We'll Google.
A little Google images, you know.
We had a guest before say Bora Bora. Was that me and you, Brendan?
Probably.
I think there somebody said right. Bora Bora. I'm like, whoa, okay. I didn't think.
Definitely
I always think that
answer.
People will say, yeah, like, somewhere within the States. I don't know why, just because of, I don't know, demographics, I guess. Yeah. But, yeah, that's a...
Maybe our world's a little small.
Yeah. We need more vacation time.
Are you into, like, any of the history stuff, too, or, like, any of the kind of, like, the monuments or things like that? Would you check that stuff out, or would you mostly hang out on a beach?
Oh, no, I would go and see all the ruins and stuff like that, yeah.
Okay.
Or, like, Greece or, like, going to Rome would be cool too. But yep. kind of all in that same bubble of like just that ancient
world.
Stuff. Yeah.
Yep. For sure.
Cool. When you were here at LCC, you've taken quite a few classes. What's been your favorite class, or what was the most enjoyable class that you've had?
Yeah. I know I mentioned earlier, but the sociology class that I took was a ton of fun, one, but it also was like so beneficial. Like just learning about the different like challenges that different demographics and people face just based on where you were born, like the county you were born. Like it was really cool to see that and like understand that. Cause like I felt like I kind of understood it going into it. Or, like, I didn't know that I did, but I felt like I could understand different perspectives easily going into it, but it totally, like, put, like, I don't know, words to it and made different connections that, like, I didn't know that I had. It's cool to, like, listen to music, a big thing as I do, so to listen to music and be able to, like, put that into the actual environment and to, like, understand it in a different way is really cool and totally changed the way I look at people.
That's a pretty popular class too. I know a lot of students take it. One, it has a lot of transferability as well. Like pretty much every college will take it. But students who, at least from my experience, my conversations, when they take that class, like after or even during, they're like, "Man, I did not expect this class or to learn this much. Like I'm enjoying it." You either love or hate it. I feel like it's one of those type of classes.
Yeah,
because there's a lot of reading and that's involved. And of course, exams, which no one loves. But I think just learning about different cultures, backgrounds, different perspectives, you can see, like, if you combine that with some of the psychology classes, you really understand, at least you understand more about, like, humans, their behavior, things like that. I took a lot of psychology and the sociology, so I definitely know what you're referring to.
Yeah, well, and that's a good testament too. I think just to being open to going into a class, right? And like, what could it be? What could I take away from this?
Yep.
You know, rather that's a completely different mindset than like, I don't think I'm gonna like this. You know, I'm not really gonna apply myself to it or be open to picking up anything and just get my way through. Like, that's a very different mindset that it sounds like for you. Paid off, you know, not just from like receiving a grade in the class, but also like, how do you see the world? How do you interact with people? We'll get into a second, like what you're getting into, because I want to make sure students know like, okay, you've been here, but where are you going? You have experience and took a lot of classes in like the trades. And you mentioned that earlier, but just talk a little bit about what that looked like, what you got into, you know?
Yeah, definitely. It's beneficial. And like, I know I'm not going directly into them. Like I'm going to do some other stuff before I get there, but they're cool. And the classes, the professors know a ton. Like going into it, like I took a couple electrical classes, just like basic lineman stuff before I was like, all right, like, door closed. But it was cool to go into that and like learn stuff that, you know, you didn't even understand or like think. So it's cool how knowledgeable they are and how willing they are to share that knowledge with people, especially because it's not like they are professors. They're guys that are in the field and coming out of it or retired and whatnot. Right. So seeing them wanting to pour into people and teach them the skills and the different tricks that they've learned is cool.
Yeah. So you did some electrical. You were doing a lot of construction as well, correct?
I never took any construction classes.
Was it architecture? Remind me.
I didn't take any.
All right. Well, I'm just a bad coach.
I've worked those kind of jobs like and stuff in high school and though. So.
But you mentioned earlier you were thinking of construction management. Correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I wanted to go to MSU.
See, there it is.
There it is. Yeah. See. I got you.
But I never actually got to that point in my process.
Yep.
It happens, but I give a lot of credit to West Campus. Those programs are phenomenal. And like you said, they're not just any instructors. Like, you have to have experience. You have to be certified or whatever the requirements are. But, you know, some students, they may not always find the specific class that they need, which kind of unfortunate sometimes. But it's also about, you want the best teacher. You want someone who's actually available to teach that class. So that's part of it. But yeah, glad you had a good experience out there. And that building, man, it's real nice too. Really nice.
Yeah. For those who haven't been to West, check it out.
Check it out for sure. So you finished your last semester in spring. What's next after LCC? And how did you ultimately decide what was next or yeah. what is next?
So I'm moving to Mount Pleasant, Dakota Central.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm transferring up there for entrepreneurship. And honestly, a lot of it was, yeah, trial and error. And I like, I still want to, what I want to do is build houses and like do it to flip and things like that. Mm. But I also want to go up there just to have the experience of going to that and growing in community and faith and things like that, which I've gotten connected to up there. So it's cool to kind of kill two birds with one stone, you know, in yeah, that yeah. aspect. But also to say, this is what I want to do. It's what I've wanted to do the whole time. I knew it, but I didn't know how to get there. And I still don't. But that's kind of cool that I now have come from this place of not wanting to make a mistake to saying, all right, we're going to go and try this and really pursue it. So, yeah, I want to do that, and I want to do it in a way that I am able to help people and build their forever homes and things like that, and do it in a way where I know that I'm not screwing them over.
Yeah,
for
yeah.
sure.
So,
yeah. And how did you, as you were going through that process, can you identify a moment when it felt like, okay, this is it, you know, this is the move I'm making, kind of some of that clarity?
Yeah. So up until spring break, I was like taking those electrical classes and saying, all right, I'm going to be in the lineman stuff. I ended up not getting into that program for next fall. So then I was like, all right, I got a whole year where it's not like I can just sit here and take classes at LCC. Like, I got to figure out, like, what I'm going to do. I either got to get a different job to work toward that still or whatever. I had to figure some stuff out.
Oh, so fall of 26.
Yeah, so I'm transferring to Central next fall. Like, I'll be there next fall.
Oh, gotcha. Okay,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, this coming fall. So I didn't get into the lineman program. And then my sister, who goes to Central right now, was like, hey, we're going on a mission trip for spring break. Do you want to come? And I was like, I mean, I guess so. I don't have anything better to do, you know?
whatever.
Yeah, I was like, sure. But, like, it's not like I knew anybody that was going on it. I was like, all right, yeah, my sister, let's go do it. So I went on that, and it was a totally amazing experience where I gained so much perspective about community and how important it is and to your growth and who you surround yourself with and things like that. So I just, like, felt like I was being called to go do it. Like, I was like,
yeah,
this didn't work out. And it was like, you had this door where you get to pursue what you want to pursue, really, grow in your faith, and build relationships with people that are going to build you up. So it was like the first thing where I walked into and I was like, okay, I'm not afraid to do this. I'm not like overwhelmed doing this. Like, I feel like this is what I am supposed to go do, and I'm comfortable doing it. And that's not to say that there's not uncomfortableness in it, but it's a totally different feeling walking into it than anything that I was. Before, it was just like, all right, I guess I'll try this because I don't know what else to do.
Yeah.
This is like, I want to go pursue this and do this.
Yeah. Well, and a huge thing that you've mentioned with that is the community aspect. So any thoughts or reflections that you have on the importance of community, whether, you know, people are here at LCC or as they look at whatever their next steps might be, how's that, you know, played out for you? And
yeah, you got to sit back and take a look at who is in your circle. Like, I mean, people say it all the time, but like, it's actually so true.
Yep.
It's like, who are you surrounding yourself with? Who do you want to be? It's not like it is about the people who are around you, but it's like, who in your soul, like in your heart, do you want to be? And then you got to go find that. Like, sometimes it's not easy to do that. Like, it's definitely hard to leave people who, you know, you have these deep connections with and you've grown up with or whatever. But if they're not going to build you up in the right way and they're not going to lead you toward who you want to be and what you're trying, your goals, your missions, not, and that's not in a selfish way, right? But you gotta reflect on that and you gotta make some choices. And that's not to say that you're not still there for the people that are around you. Like, that's so important, but it's also important to put yourself first in some aspects, but also understand that there's bigger things at play.
Definitely.
Well, and I mean, from what you've told us, like, you've made important life moves based on the right community. So I definitely think that sounds like part of your story.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Which, like I said, it's not always easy, but it's the right thing to do, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So as we kind of just wrap up here, is there any parting reflections or any like big takeaways that you want to share, kind of leaving your time at LCC and moving on?
Keep your mind open to different things, like, and don't get discouraged when things don't go your way. Like, it's always part of a bigger plan, you know, and walk into every situation, even if you don't want to be there, with an open mind and just go with the flow, see what doors open, follow the right things, surround yourself with the right people, it'll all work out.
Sweet.
Yeah. Never know what can happen.
Sweet. Awesome. Well, thanks everybody for tuning into this episode of Student Success Stories. Like I said, I'm Brendan Finnerty and my co-host is
Laz Lane.
Thank you, Kyle, for being here.
Thank
awesome
you
hearing your story, you know, getting to share it with people listening. So to listen to other episodes, go to lccconnect.com, or if you have a story you'd like to share with us, reach out to success-stories@lcc.edu.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to
Student Success Stories.
To listen to this episode
or previous episodes of Success Stories,
visit lccconnect.com.
We want to connect with you
and learn about your successes.
So if you or any other LCC student wants to share their story,
connect with us at success-stories@lcc.edu.
Everyone has a success story.
Let's hear yours.
This is LCC Connect.
Voices.
Vibes.
Vision.
Academic success is a priority at Lansing Community College, and when assistance is needed, tutoring is available to all students. To find out more about tutoring services, visit lcc.edu/tutoring.
LCC.
Connect.
Voices.
Vibes.
Vision.
Hey, y'all, and welcome to another episode of It's Brittany B podcast, a show where you and I go on a journey and break down subjects that most of us want to talk about, listen to, or even want to be a part of. I'm your host, Brittany, and if y'all are ready, let's sit back, relax, and let's chat. On today's episode, we are going to be talking about girl code. Now, girl code is like a set of unwritten commandments of rules or ethics that exist between a girl or a woman and her friends. These rules are usually the make it or break it in the friendships and the laws of girl code. Now, with girl code, there are two groups. The first one is the best friend girl code, and the second one is the universal girl code. Best friend girl code is the girl code we devote to our best friends. And these set of rules are sort of like, never date your best friend's ex. That is like one of the top three rules. And I never understood why friends would date their friend's ex. I could never do that because for me, my best friend, whoever she dates, they automatically turn into, I wouldn't say an ugly switch, but it's like a turn off switch. It's almost like a robotic switch because to me, her man ends up turning into like a brother type. Plus, there is no way you would be able to actually keep that friendship if you were to date your best friend's ex. Do you honestly think your best friend wants to hang around you and your ex being all mushy together? You have to be a special type of crazy for that. The other rule that they have is never share your best friend's secrets. You have to take that shit to the grave, regardless on whether or not you're friends till death. You have sworn an oath to never talk about your best friend's secret. Even if it seems small and insignificant, keep your damn mouth shut. Because after a while, you'll end up forgetting it anyway until you have one of those drunken nights with your friends and then you reminisce on it. But bottom line is you shut your mouth. Another example is you should always check on your best friends when they're on dates. Always have them send a location. I always have my friends send me locations. You never know. We watch too much true crime in order for us to not feel too protective over our friends. You always have to be sure that you protect your friends as much as possible. When they go on dates, you make sure you know where they're at, who this person's with, and what the dude's number is. The other example I also have is you never, ever, 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 ever let a guy get in between you and your best friend. He could be talking to both of you at the same time. You never let him get in the way. No guy is worth losing a friendship. You could be dating a POS and he totally isolates you from your friends because he doesn't like them. Don't let him get in the way. There is a reason for that infamous quote that all of us ladies have heard, sisters before misters. The example I just proven is why we say this. Now, those are the main points of the best friend girl code. But what about the universal girl code? What is it? What does it mean? Well, universal girl code is a girl code of women that just have other women's back. You don't have to be friends or family. You could be complete strangers. One big example of universal girl code is rescuing another woman from some weirdo. Us women usually have the knowledge to know when another woman is uncomfortable. It is almost like a telepathic power we have with each other. This is a rule that should be followed no matter what, if you're a girl or not. We all watch true crime, and to not think of five different possible scenarios that may or may not happen to this girl that's getting hit on by this weirdo, I mean, I know I can't just leave that girl by herself. I wouldn't have a good conscience about it because I know how I would feel. I would hope another woman would do that for me. And actually, I have been saved a time or two when I have been out at the bar. Some weird guy hits on me and I'm not feeling it and I'm trying to escape. And then boom, here comes a beautiful drunken group of angels coming to save me. I have never met them in my life, but they knew I needed help. They knew that they needed to save me, and it was truly a beautiful thing. When it comes to universal girl code, another universal girl code rule is don't hate girls you don't know. This is a rule that most of us have a hard time following. We all have felt like we were in competition with each other, with another woman who could be our competition. I mean, let's be real. Isn't that why most of us women hate other women that we don't know? There is nothing more annoying than a girl who hates on another girl for no damn reason. It gets even more annoying when you barely know, let alone meet this girl. Don't be that girl. Didn't you hear the rule prior to this? We already have a hard enough time staying away from weirdos and protecting each other. Didn't you hear the rule prior to this? We already have enough of a hard time trying to stay away from weirdos and protecting each other from these weirdos. We do not have time for these meaningless enemies that mean nothing. Now for my last example on universal girl code, I want to be clear that this code goes for both versions of girl code. And this rule is, be honest when a woman and or your best friend asks how they look, and don't you dare lie. Don't you dare lie. You better be honest. If a woman's makeup is not blended well, her clothes are not flattering, her eyebrows are messed up. This is another rule that takes a little bit more longer for most of us to learn because we don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. But honesty is not always flattering, but it is also very flattering. You had the nerve to tell me that something about myself was off, where I have walked past 50 damn people today, and no one told me that my skirt was tucked into my underwear? You are a superhero if you are able to be honest about how your friend or another random woman looks. Not in a malicious way, but more in a, I'm just trying to help. That woman slash friend may or may not take it well, but at least you were honest. And are there exceptions and limits to girl code? Yeah, I think so. After a while, there's a certain maturity that has to come into play. Like, after a while, if your friend and you were grown and say you and her brother start catching feelings for each other, like, is that okay for you to date her brother? Nah. I mean, maybe it's not such a big deal now since you guys are all adults, but it depends. Talk about it. I don't know. Also, cheating. That one's a slippery slope to approach. And I don't want to go into too much detail because I want to tackle this topic in a different episode. But just know that there are a lot of stipulations there. You can see your best friend's man cheating, but there is a certain strategy to approach that because you can run the risk of losing a friend. There's also a lot more to it, and it takes intricate movements to approach it, but I know I'll get a lot of flack for that. But don't pretend like that's not the truth. But again, for a different day. Real girl code is just about being a good friend. With society already pinning looks and more drama into our lives, it's hard to trust anyone. But girl code allows us to understand that no matter what, there is a sense of comfort knowing that we can stand together no matter what. How bad today's world's trying to pin us against each other, that I can have more confidence that I know if a woman sees me uncomfortable, she's more than likely going to help me or check on me. Comfort in this aspect helps the world, still keeps us close. Girl code is peace within women. It's something that is understood and does not always have to be explained. Well, you guys, thank you for sitting with me. It's been a pleasure talking with you on another episode of It's Brittany B, the show where you and I go on a journey and break down topics that most of us want to talk about, listen to, or even want to be a part of. I'm your host, Brittany. I want to say thank you to Dedalion for producing today's episode. And don't forget to stay tuned for new episodes. And to stay up to date with the latest episodes, go to lccconnect.org. Get it? Got it? Done. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Examining the issues and topics that affect our lives from the local level to the world stage. Listen to the programs of LCC Connect anytime at lccconnect.org.
LCC
Connect.
Voices.
Vibes.
Vision.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Now Spinning, the official podcast of the Lansing Community College Vinyl Record Club. We meet twice a month to listen to vinyl and talk about music. Stay tuned to learn about how you can get in touch with us and attend our meetings. All right, hello, everybody. Welcome back to Now Spinning. Today in the room with me, I have...
Tyler Reck.
Jacob Zokvik.
Noah Miller.
So good to have everybody back again. Okay, we have a fun little meeting to talk about today, and that was our last meeting of 2024, December 10th. We didn't have a theme. There was still a lot of good stuff that got played.
Very much so.
Yeah,
good vibes all around.
Starting off, we have a couple good rock songs I don't really know very much about, but one was Shiva by Fields of the Nephilim, which is a crazy band name. Like, that's a powerful band name. Mm-hmm. It's a good song. It's like a psychedelic kind of thing. I listened to it a couple times.
It's pretty good.
Following that up was Cruiser's Creek by The Fall. That's like a post-punk kind of thing, like punk rock.
Cool.
I don't know who brought that in, but it was pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have been Steve. I'll ask him.
Next up, we have...
Blazing through.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah. We're whipping through.
We have to. Anyway, next up we have The Prophet's Song, which is a really good prog rock song written by Brian May.
Friend of the show.
Yeah, friend of the show. and I kind of hyped it up to make people think I was going to play Bohemian Rhapsody because I said, I'm going to play the longest song on a night at the opera. And they're like, oh, Bohemian Rhapsody? Is like, no.
Well, actually.
A Prophet's Song's 2 minutes longer.
Queen was never really prog rock, but they got close a couple times.
They got pretty
experimental.
This album,
it's
I think.
Cool.
Yeah, this album's the closest they get.
This is my favorite Queen album.
It's very good.
Nothing can top it.
This is the only
heart attack.
Yeah.
Queen 2 comes close, though.
Queen 2.
Love Queen 2.
They're all great.
The delayed vocals, like in the middle of it.
Yeah.
And just all the layering and the harmonies that he's doing. And it sounds like he's just doing it right there, like basically singing with the delay happening as it's being tracked. Like, he can hear all the delays as he's singing. It just sounds like he's just nailing these, like, one after the other, building it right in front of your ears.
Which almost certainly is not how it was done, because they would have been cutting physical pieces of tape, probably.
Yeah, I feel like back in that time, it would have been... You could set up the delay to maybe... you can still set up the delays to be, like, a specific rhythm or, like, a specific division. So they probably did that, and he just knew, like, tracking with it how long it was going to be. I'm totally just headcanoning this out there.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of like doubt that. It, but maybe,
I'd love to sit and chat with Brian May and talk about music and animals.
He
and
seems
space
like a, he's a really interesting guy. Like, he's like a doctor, right?
He's an astrophysicist.
Yeah. Right? Doesn't he have a doctor, like a PhD or something? Yeah.
I don't know if many astrophysicists don't have a PhD.
No, that doesn't make sense.
But anyway,
I know most of about Queen. I was big in my senior year of high school, like big.
Cool. I was never a Queen guy. I don't know. I feel like I'm like a fake dad rock fan, but I don't listen to Queen that much. This album, though, I do have this album. I love this album.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
very good.
I even like the late Queen stuff, you know. I'll happily listen to Radio Gaga.
Yeah, that's The Works is a good album.
Shout out to Queen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we're gonna have to start. We're gonna have to start distinguishing when it's a real person who's a friend of the show. I think I'll say that next.
I got news for you. If we say friend of the show, we don't know any of these people.
Yeah.
We've not met
that personally.
Anyway.
Although we would like to.
Yeah, of course.
Wait till there is somebody we do know, and they're not gonna believe us.
Yeah,
yeah.
But moving on from that one, we have a good little King Gizzard song, which is called "The Bitter Boogie," which is off the album "Paper Mache Dream Balloon." I like this album a lot. It's pretty.
You
it's
thought
pretty chill.
We forgot about King Giz? No.
Yeah. we jumped a meeting. Yeah, that's a good.
Yeah. Line. Again, with like King Gizzard and King Crimson and all those other bands of Paul McCartney, it's okay.
It's not for you.
Yeah,
it's not definitely for you. Way better than okay.
I mean,
this album. It is so musically complex. While still being very listenable, it's slightly earlier King Giz, not early, early, but slightly earlier King Giz, and they had already figured out so much, and it's just generally sounds really cool.
They love their flute on this one. The guy, whoever plays flute on this album is going crazy the whole time.
Maybe they were just big Jethro Tull fans. I guess so.
That album's interesting. It's like all their earlier stuff before that was like garage rock, psych rock. But this one, it's like very stripped back, you know, psychedelic folk kind of thing. It's very chill. It's a good vibe.
When I think about King Giz, I think of like a new band with kind of like an older aesthetic.
That's the thing that everybody says is like, oh, you're just not listening to the right King Giz album. You know, there's something for you. I've listened to all of them.
You have
all
not.
Of them?
all like 25?
That's a bold claim.
There's a lot all of them.
Hey,
sorry to call you out, but
we
don't believe
fine,
you.
But that's fine. My dad doesn't believe me about most stuff either.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Sorry, man. Well,
that's a good little
sorry,
song.
Sorry, man.
It's just there's a lot of them.
Very Baroque, though.
Very cool stuff. That. Love King Giz.
Speaking of mellow kind of, I don't know if this one's really psychedelic, but like mellow folk rock kind of stuff. This is a song that I played, Run of the Mill by George Harrison.
Great song.
Off of the All Things Must Pass album. I love this album. This might be... I know I say this a lot, but this is definitely like a contender for my favorite record of all time.
Oh, wow.
Just All Things Must Pass. It's such a great album. It really demonstrates how much that George Harrison was really just slept on by everybody else in the Beatles.
Really he's held like, back.
He's like, that's it. All right, you guys don't want to listen to my songs. That's fine. You don't get any of them. And he put his
They just didn't want his stuff.
They didn't want it. They just
Lennon-McCartney just songwriting machine. Like, how do you get a word in edgewise when they've got a new song every
he
weekend?
He gets every album, he only gets like one or two songs in there until he finally gets tired of it and puts out a double album of stuff. And like, it's just
plus some jams.
Some jams at the end. But the thing is, like, all of this like really incredible music, you look it up and like a lot of the stuff was written like in like 1966, 67, like during the Beatles. Like he played this to the Beatles and they were like, yeah, no, we're going to put on, this isn't good. And you listen to some of the stuff that they did put on the albums that they could have put any of those songs on there, and you're like, what's
going
on?
Wild Honey Pie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly, that kind of stuff. And
especially some of the, like Let It Be.
Yeah.
So much of that is obviously built on stuff the Beatles had done before, but it was still new and experimental.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
They could have tried something new and gotten away with it.
A lot of the songs on All Things Must Pass, All Things Must Pass, the title song, was played during those sessions. A lot of songs were played.
It was the Get Back sessions.
Yeah.
And then eventually they did Abbey Road. Then it was Let It Be, which I'm not a big fan of. I prefer Get Back.
That is
more cohesive.
That is a debate that I will have later, but Let It Be album exists.
One of the Beatles exists.
Could have been better. But anyway, Run of the Mill. But moving on to like the actual song itself, though, Run of the Mill, very mellow, very I get like the fog meeting of like the feeling of like autumn or like that kind of feeling from the song. It's very
Thank
chill.
Thank you for mentioning that.
The like warm sensation.
Yeah, it's very warm. A lot of those songs on that album, though, it's a fall album. It's a very fall.
We need a meeting with just fall songs. I could just
all right. Give fall it semester. All, put it on
semester.
The list.
Put it on the list. It will be on the list. But I'm afraid we have to move on from George Harrison. I could talk about this guy for a very long time, but it is
for something completely different again.
Yes, exactly.
Down to something that I could talk about for a while.
Good. That's good.
I'm not going to talk about it.
No, you
could. It's Willing Well, number one, Fuel for the Feeding End by Coheed and Cambria. This is the first part in the Willing Well suite on the back end of Good Apollo, I'm Burning Star 4, Volume 1, From Fear Through the Eyes of Madness. That's a long title. Yeah, it's a bit of a paragraph. But this one, if you're into prog rock, this is definitely the vein that I would go down personally, because they really give off like Thin Lizzy vibes towards the back end of the track.
Now, would you say it's prog metal though?
Not entirely.
Not quite. Doesn't quite get there.
Yeah,
they're on the border.
Progressive hard rock.
Okay,
that makes cool. sense.
Anyway,
yeah. But it's just a lot of fun with this track. Really cool drum fills with the guitar parts. And just this,
that's prog.
Yeah. A lot of different sections on the back end of it, and the narrative of the track kind of discusses, I mean, the whole album kind of has this meta narrative going along with it. So there's a comic series that goes along with it that I've probably mentioned on this show before. But in this chapter of it, the character of Claudio Kilgannon, who is the character in the comic book itself, which the comic is written by Claudio Sanchez. He accidentally wrote himself into the story.
Accidentally, nothing. That was intentional self-insert.
The songs came out before the comics, so he wrote himself into the song, which was part of the comic.
Oops.
So a little oopsie daisy naming a character after yourself, but
it happens.
So there's Claudio Kilgannon, then there's Claudio Sanchez, who's the actual writer. But then there's someone in between named Ryder, R-Y-D-E-R, and he's writing the
subtle.
He's writing the story of basically Claudio Kilgannon. He's been the unseen author basically of the first two parts, and now we finally see him in this part, and he's like communicating directly with Claudio Kilgannon. It's this whole crazy meta thing. And
we're at like the fourth wall breaking. We're breaking the fifth and sixth walls.
We are breaking the whole cube.
There's no walls left in the house. We are outside.
What? We are in the void.
Yeah.
And that's another thing that I just appreciate is just the meta narrative of it all and how far it takes it. And yeah.
It's a multimedia experience.
A lot going on.
Cool. There's a lot.
That is. Yeah, I've never heard anything like that before. Like the level of just interconnectedness. That's crazy to me.
Yeah. And this song kind of basically dictates Ryder's like first encounter with Claudio, or like talking to him like face to face for the first time. Mm. But yeah, that's the Willing Well One.
Wow.
And there's three other parts.
Oh boy. Now for something completely different. Yeah. We're going to use that so many times.
Right. Yes. Can we just steal the soundbite from Monty Python?
Put that on a button.
For something different.
That would be lovely. I would love to have that.
I should bring in some of my Monty Python stuff sometime.
I've got a couple too. We'll do it.
Anyway, One Fine Day by David Byrne of Talking Heads. Yeah. Shout out to that guy. This is a live version of that song, which is originally off of his album. It's one he did with Brian Eno, and the name is escaping me. I see it in my brain, but
they've
I don't know what
Google,
it is.
They can figure it out.
It's a good one. Very good album. It's got the other song, Strange Overtones, on it, but this is a good little happy song. It's very, very chill.
Like
this
it.
Live show he did, though, it's from the American Utopia live tour he did, and that is incredible. It's like there's like 30 people on stage. They're all playing instruments, and they're all like moving and like dancing in rhythm with each other, and it was really interesting to watch. It's not like he plays a lot of old stuff, obviously, not just the new songs he wrote, but tons of Talking Heads songs too. It's just a great experience. I would love to see him live one day. He's a spectacular performer.
Yeah.
And the 30 people on stage, I assume that's also the choir that's doing the vocals on this.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah,
that's
them.
Has a giant church quality to it.
He's
There's the vocals.
Yeah,
on this
no,
track.
It's definitely
sick.
Great track, but the one after this, this is Feeling Yourself Disintegrate by the Flaming Lips. This song ruined my life. It is such a beautiful song. It's like so depressing, but like it's such so well made. You can't help but like listen to it.
Yeah.
Oh man.
I think weirdly, a lot of the Flaming Lips is like that.
No, yeah, they like write a lot of their songs are like the lyrically. Like, it's like the opposite. Some of their songs are like really like happy lyrically, but like the music is just soul crushing. But this is one of those songs where the lyrics are like depressing and the song is just like, it just hammers it in, but it's so good. Mm-hmm. It's such a good, this whole album, The Soft Bulletin, I love this album. Great song.
Mm-hmm. So next we've got
beautiful.
Tom Waits, Hang On St. Christopher. So I don't know who brought this in, but Tom Waits has just got so much variety across his albums and stuff, mm-hmm. but pretty consistent with Tom Waits is It Sounds Ridiculous. And Tom Waits is always going to sound a bit ridiculous, but it never moves into being parody or being silly. It's ridiculous in a very serious way, and a lot of like heavy tone and stuff, but also songs where you're like, I have no idea what he's talking about. And this is just a great one where, yeah, you hear it and you're like, is this what they intended this song to sound like? But it really was. It's supposed to have that kind of dark and just like, what the heck is this sound?
Yeah.
And yeah, Tom Waits, just a nuts dude. Very cool, but totally.
Check that guy out. I haven't listened to very much of him, but what I've heard has frightened me.
Yeah.
In a good way. It's interesting. Yeah.
If you've seen Shrek 2, you've heard one of his songs.
Yeah.
I was wondering where I've heard Tom Waits from.
Yeah, Little Drop of Poison.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Okay, I know what you're talking about now.
The bar, yeah.
Yeah, it just appeared in my head.
I think that album also has the song Warm Beer and Cold Women, which is a great Tom Waits song if you're looking to figure out some of what Tom Waits is about.
That's nice. Very true. I'd like.
It's one of the most accessible Tom Waits songs. It's
if
less
such a
ridiculous.
Thing exists. Yeah. Okay. Right on. Nice. I'll have to look into it. I'll look into it.
There you go.
Moving on. Here's something polar opposite again. It's Ram On by Paul and Linda McCartney off the album Ram. This is also another one of those ones where I'll say it's my favorite ever, but like it's up there. Paul McCartney. Early solo career is essentially just like a 100 songs are all about like, man, I really love my wife. And like, this is one of them. Mm-hmm. But like,
And fair enough.
He does love his wife. And this is such a like really nice mellow song. It's got a ukulele on it, which is not a lot of that in rock music, I think, obviously. Mm-hmm. And this is like this isn't really a rock song or like a rock album.
Yeah,
even,
I think it's a rock album.
It's got some rock on there. It's like 50-50 psychedelic pop, that kind of thing. But this song is just a really wholesome, nice little relaxing song. Again, the ukulele is really prominent. There's a lot of like echo effects and like the drums and stuff. Lyrically, Paul McCartney, I love him, but like lyrically, he's not the greatest writer. Again, most of his songs are just, I love my wife so much. It's so great. This whole album is just, I love my wife.
That's all it needs to be.
Musically, though, it's a genius, great album. Mm-hmm. One song of this album I just want to shout out before I go is just Uncle Albert, Admiral Halsey. That's a song he added on there. That's basically a Beatles song that he snuck on there. It's very different than anything else on there. It's like two-part song suite. They stuck together. Great little ditty, I guess. Again, lyrically, absolutely nothing going at all on at all lyrically, but like musically, so great. So good. I love this album. Moving on, we have The Monkees.
Yeah.
Kind of Beatles-related in a way.
Yeah, the prefab four.
Indeed.
This is Mike Nesmith, who's probably my favorite Monkey. He wrote a lot of good songs, and this is one he like wrote after their first ever like actual perform in front of people concert to prove to people that they do play their instruments.
Nice.
Which, after Mike Nesmith's confrontation with their manager after the surprising release of More of the Monkees, they essentially split off and did all their stuff headquarters on is all their own.
Cool.
But The Birds, the Bees, and the Monkees is real good. Anyway, what?
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but so later on, there's another Mike Nesmith song.
Yeah,
we
might as well group them in.
Yeah.
And Joanne was played, too.
I forgot
Joanne
to put
was
that on the playlist. You can sue me. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Anyway. But Joanne was a song like on the back of, it's from Magnetic South, let me say that. Mm-hmm. And on the back, it says, Joanne is dedicated to Jack Nicholson.
Okay.
And
who was one of the writers of the Monkees movie Head. Joanne's probably one of Mike Nesmith's most famous solo songs from in the first National Band. And enough so that he parodied it in his little TV movie, Elephant Parts, and Rodan and Living in an Ocean off Japan and stuff. And cool. Go watch Elephant Parts.
I will.
Yeah.
Put it on the list.
It's very 80s.
Yeah.
Well, it was 1981. It was like kind of a precursor to MTV.
A sign of things to come.
Yeah.
And cool. Then
warning.
Yeah. The next thing was First National Rag, which is just, we're here to take a short intermission, folks, but we'll be back right once you flip the record over. And that's all that was.
That's goofy. That's fun though. They're taking advantage of the medium. It makes absolutely no sense if you listen to this album on streaming, I bet, but like Like the, that's just fun to have that on there when you actually have the album in person. You have to just get up and flip it over.
Yeah, or like Running Down a Dream, where it's like a little intermission thing where it's Tom Petty's like, attention CD and tape listeners. This is when the people who are listening on vinyl record will stand up and flip the record over.
That's super clever.
That's fun.
Cool.
Oh, man.
Shout out Mike Nesmith, friend of the show.
Friend of the show.
Sure. So next we had Everybody's Happy Nowadays by the Buzzcocks. We talked about the Buzzcocks last episode. Same thing. Great Buzzcocks song. Go check them out.
Yeah, nice little fuzzy guitar, nice little chord progression.
Yeah.
Very English name.
Yeah.
Definitely. That's all we get.
They aren't like
very much
British or something. Yeah.
Something like that. On an island.
So now we've got Aphex Twin with Flim. Now, this was actually the meeting where I discovered that I had a 12-inch 45. I had tried to play this record before on my record player, which I'm having some issues with it. So I thought that, you know, it was playing lower and slower. So I was like, what is going on? Do I need to, like, spray Deoxid all around my thing? But no, apparently when I brought it over to the meeting, it was still playing lower and slower. And I'm like, what's going on? And so then Steve, he mentioned, we'll try playing at 45. And sure enough, that brought it right up to where it should be. So that was when I first discovered that 12-inch 45s were a thing.
Yeah. Nice.
Love 12 inches. Yeah. I've got all the like 90s dance tracks on 12-inch singles and I've got a bunch of 80s dance tracks too. I've got What a Feeling on a very different from Aphex Twin, but I've got What a Feeling on a 12-inch 45, and that was when I had a similar experience. For the first time I played it, I went, I mean, this sounds really cool, but this is not the song I thought it was. Yeah, and then as soon as the lyrics start, you go, oh, I'm playing at the wrong speed. But in your case, this song doesn't have lyrics.
No.
So in the end, like, there's really nothing wrong with what you were listening to. It was just it was just a different way to hear it.
It was just a vibe, yeah.
Yeah, but my only comment on the song Flim is this is the most whimsical piece of music I have ever heard in my entire life.
I love this piece.
It's so goofy. It's so fun, though.
I love the drums on it too. Yeah. I saw a guy do like actual like breakbeat drums with it too.
That sounds painful.
Impossible.
Yeah.
Star Power drummer. Hey, shout out.
Shout out to that guy.
That guy's awesome.
Nice. But moving on to another
We've got another Soft Cell song. We talked about Soft Cell last episode also. All I'll say about this one is this came out not during the 80s. This came out later after they like kind of regrouped and made some stuff. And it's just a kind of classic example of they originated so much of how electronic dance music is done. And then like they went away. And when they came back, everybody's like, no, we still love you. Like, we still want to hear your electronic dance music. Sick.
Nice. Yeah.
It's just great.
And now for something completely different again for the 50th time.
So we've got Hungarian Dance number 5 by Johann Brahms. I don't remember who played this, but wasn't me. But I love classical music, obviously, especially Romantic era composers. Johann Brahms was right smack in the middle of the Romantic era, actually kind of famous at his time for being conservative. But nowadays, when people listen to it, it's like, yeah, this is basically just a natural progression from Bach and Beethoven and things. Written with genuine influence from Hungarian folk music and, interestingly, Romani people.
Yeah, that's cool.
There you go.
Nice.
I am not qualified at all to talk about classical music. I thought it was good.
It is good.
I'm out of my depth here. I'll talk about rock all day, but classical, I'm like, oh.
Sure. Well, right after this, we got some more classic rock, the Beach Boys.
Yeah, the Child of Winter, Christmas song.
This is one of the songs they ever made.
Yeah, it was released in 1974 as a single, and it was set to be on their, what was supposed to be their 1977 Christmas album, Merry Christmas from the Beach Boys.
And that album was so bad that the label just said, we are not going to release this.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Lost media.
But, yeah. It's,
I wish it was lost.
Yeah.
It's terrifying. Oh, man. But yeah. Anyway, moving on from that Beach Boys album, Scientist by Richard Dawson. That's an interesting. Yeah, that's interesting one.
It had been a while since I actually had heard this album. I listened to it like a number of years ago, but this one is very much like a kind of a folksy, almost like medieval sounding kind of track with like the groove on it and the gang vocals and stuff like that. Yeah, it just really, it gives that kind of medieval vibe.
Mm-hmm. Any unique instrumentation? They got a lute in there, a harpsichord, flambe?
I can't tell if it's like lute. There's not like a harpsichord or anything like that, but the guitars there are very buzzy. Like there's a lot of like fret buzz that you can hear.
Very lutey.
you could call that a lute. But old sounding guitar, adds a lot of character to it and a lot of charm that I like to it.
Cool.
Yeah. All right, we're almost out of time here, but I just want to mention one more song that I liked a lot, which was the Christmas song, medley with Oh Christmas Tree by a guy named Lord Phobos, who is in a band called Twerp, which we've talked about a while ago on here. It's been a minute since they've been brought in.
Yeah.
But they're just a fun 80s throwback, like synth jazz funk band. It's very, very interesting stuff. This guy just made a solo album on his own, though, and it's just a Christmas EP. It's fun. My roommate bought it. It's a interesting thing.
And I'd like to talk about one song, like is I Am a Rock. I've been wanting to play this song at a December meeting for the past 2 years or so.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
What's the connection to December?
Well, it's a winter's day in a deep and dark December.
I got it. Okay.
Yeah, but
Yeah, good song.
Pretty good.
It's called I Am a Rock, yet Paul Simon is very clearly a human being. Why would he say this?
Oddly enough, so is Art Garfunkel.
Yeah.
So we're told. Only,
come to think of it.
Only two Christmas songs at this meeting, which
good
is
job.
Crazy.
Really festive.
Guys aren't rocks
guys.
At all.
Yeah. Yeah. Usually I bring in a ton of Christmas.
And then we closed out the meeting with Into the Groove by Madonna.
Yeah, great
and
Christmas track.
Person that I remember distinctly the person that played it. Cut it off real early and said, "No, I don't like
just
this song.
Feel.
I don't want. I don't."
No, I remember that.
I don't want it on the playlist.
It's on the playlist.
We got it.
Sorry, buddy. I put it on there anyway.
I happen to like this song. Like, all right, one of the best Madonna songs, in my opinion. One of the most like serious dance songs of hers that isn't also a little corny. You know,
that's good.
But yeah, pretty good meeting overall for not having a theme.
There was a little bit of everything today. That's what we like.
Yeah,
cool.
But that does wrap it up for today. If you're interested at all in attending any of our meetings or learning about meeting themes, listening to past podcasts, any of that, you can go check out our website, which will be linked with the podcast. We hope you have a wonderful, wonderful day. We love you.
We
goodbye.
Love you.
Or
bye.
Night. Wonderful day or night.
Whatever time it is.
Time.
Yeah.
This is WLNZ Lansing. You're listening to LCC Connect, a weekly program that features the voices, vibes, and vision of Lansing Community College. To find out more about LCC Connect programs or to listen on demand, visit us at lccconnect.org.
LCC
Connect.
Voices.
Vibes.
Vision.